You may be seated. Mrs. Bell and I went out of town last Saturday, and we got back today. And it is quite a comfort for me to know that I have several men in our church that when I go away, I do not have to worry when I come back what was said or the controversy or what happened while I was gone. Even though except for Brother Cordry, you're welcome. Even though I was not here, I know that things went well, and I appreciate that, and thank you for being here also. They now also, except for Brother Cordry, work out in the world. They have a job just like you. I'm the only guy around here that doesn't work, me and Brother Cordry. But I wanted you to know that I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate what they did too. So they have full jobs. They work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and then come in here on several nights out of the week from their family and try to get things accomplished here, to doing plumbing, to working on materials, to upcoming graduations. Different things has to be done, and they're still here. And that means the world to me that they're not just here for the pay, which nobody would have ever really been here for that to begin with. But they're here, and I appreciate that. Brother Cillier is a very, very good man. I enjoy having him around. Unlike most of us, he's easy to get along with. He's bilingual, which means nothing to me, except the one English part. I like that a lot. And just a great guy. And already, I guess, from where he's working already, I was talking to, did Maria tell you, I saw her the other day, and nice lady. She was going through a tough time back when I first met her. And she said, and Brother Seeley. I said, Cillier. She acted like she didn't hear me. She goes, yeah. And she said, what a kind man. I said, I taught him everything. And, you know, I don't like taking credit for things, but I mean, whatever. And said, he's so good. I said, he catches on quick. He's bilingual. I know, she says. She's Spanish and a very nice lady. And they're just thrilled to have him there. I was thrilled to have him here. And that's what I still would rather have. But I was telling Brother Pledger the other day, it hurt me that our church got to that point that they had to do that. But what I'm thankful about was almost immediately they got jobs to sustain them and to help them. I mean, I don't know what I would have done if they could not be here and then could not get a decent job. So I thank the Lord that that's been taking care of a great burden off of me and probably them too. And so I'm glad that he's here tonight. So Brother Cillier is going to come preach for 5 minutes and then we're going home. That's why everybody likes him. To tell you the truth, down there I preach for at least hour 15, hour and a half. And unlike here, there's so much I want to tell people. And I don't know what they know yet. And here I go like this, okay, so you know that story, and I'll go to something else. Down there I think, okay, I better stop and tell them the story. And it was like this, okay, let me tell you one more story. You remember how I do that, right? And then when I was done, go, you know, there's something, let me tell you this other story. And it just went on. Everybody loved it, at least that's what I told them. And we had a great time together. So thank you for your prayers getting us back. And Brother Cillier is going to come preach for us tonight. Brother Cillier?
All right. Wait, I don't think I... You remember when you said I could get along with a lot of people?
Yeah.
I don't know about that no more. I think I found one. All right. Let's turn into our Bibles. We're going to go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And we're going to be reading verse number 15 and number 17. And Pastor, thank you for allowing me to preach here. You know, I don't really take it lightly. It's an honor. It's an honor to be able to preach, that pastor allows me to do it. It's a burden that I have, and I think that God called me to preach, even though it goes completely against the fiber of my being to stand in front of people and speak. I'm here, and, you know, I had a thought that kind of popped into my head when Pastor told me that we were going to preach, and it's something that I've been, thinking about, and hopefully I could help You know, pastor said 5 minutes, I'm going 10, and then I think I win. So so we'll do that. But let's all stand. Turn to our Bible, Genesis chapter number 2, and we're going to read verse 15 to 17. And it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou have eat of it, thereof, thou shalt surely die." And our text verse will be number 16, for it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for allowing me to be able to come and preach, Lord, and be in this place, Lord, with people that, we love and I've become really close friends and friends with, Lord. You know, I'm here to help as much as I can, as much as you allow me, Lord. Allow me to speak to them, speak to their hearts, and may they go out of here being able to be a little bit better, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you again for all you do. Amen. So I was reading Genesis, and you know, we've been talking on Thursdays. You know, Pastor's been talking about Genesis, and we've been talking about the Bible and the pre Noah time and the flood. And it kind of reminds me of creation science when you know we've been going a lot and trying to think about some of the stuff that portrays times. You know, everybody has kind of like their thing that they always look for when they're reading the Bible or try to imagine and think about. You know, it's just kind of personal stuff. Most of you guys know I'm a pretty big space nerd, so I like to think about, you know, what the planet was like back before the flood, and you know, what God's original plan was for the planet. You know the Bible talks about you know, that God saw it and said it, you know, it was very good. So I imagine, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times you go through the world, and, you know, I do this a lot where I'll stop and I'll just look at things, at places, at things, and just kind of marvel what God has created for us, right? The things that he allows us to see and do. Space is one of those things. Just, you know, being able to look at the moon, look at the stars, you know, full moons, you know, kind of captures me because you're staring at it. I mean, you know, big old orb in the sky that, you know, just, if you know, if you sit and you think about it, it's just kind of amazing the way how it was perfectly set there for us to just admire and be able to admire. And then, you know, we have the sun that, you know, that gives us life. But, you know, I was thinking about what the planet looked like before the flood, before, you know, how, you know, Pastor talks about the canopy of water. And, you know, you go to some beaches, you see the water, and you see through the water. It's almost like it magnifies everything, right? You think everything is a lot closer. So I was thinking the other day, and I'm, you know, sitting there, had this thought, and I'm like, imagine what space looked like, right? You know, the stars and everything about it. And let's say the canopy of water, you know, in my brain, okay, the canopy of water, I mean, and this may not be true, but I imagine the space was magnified. You know, the planets, everything, you'd be able to see a little bit closer. I mean, it may not be closer, but you may see. I don't know if that's the thing, but that's what I like to imagine that it's like. But, you know, and you think about, you know, the trees. You're talking about a place that's covered with water, and you have the it's extremely high in carbon dioxide because of the greenhouse effect. So with all that, you imagine the size of fruits and plants and trees, and you think about, you know, how, you know, sometimes you could go in the world and you could see a view and it captures your attention like this. You know, Honduras, it happens to me all the time while I'm traveling to Honduras. I mean, we go around this mountain, we come around this hill, and then we hit like a valley where you could oversee the valley. And it's probably the most beautiful view that you could possibly see. And with all that, with all the views, you know, I go out and I go take my picture, and I'm like, I'm going to take pictures, man. This is amazing. I have to capture it, take a picture. But then for some reason, when I go back and so go show somebody, hey, look at this picture. You just do not capture how amazing it was to view what you viewed in a picture. I mean, you could get close. You could really try. But you imagine that, and I go, and all that being said, you know, I go back to the times, and you know, the Bible talks about how the world was completely different before the flood, and I like to picture that. But then, on top of that, God, you know, knowing with the tabernacle and how, you know, how God, you know, when he makes a place, you know, it's the place times 3,000. So in my mind, the Garden of Eden was probably, you know, you think about what you see now times a million. And then I imagine that the Garden of Eden and all that was there was times trillions on top of that. And, you know, it's one of those things where you think about what you could have seen and everything that was there. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, something that was freely, you may freely enjoy, right? And just imagine what God creates for us and what he created at that moment for them. And I think about, man, you know, sometimes it's just like, man, how beautiful could have been there, the garden? You know, what you see, I mean, I can imagine the size of the trees and the fruit and the plant and everything. You know, it was, everything was free, freely given to them. And then I go, we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel chapter 28, so it says, wait till you guys get there, sorry, it's going fast. So it says, so before we did, so, you know, and so God created this place for us, the Garden of Eden, created this place, the original plan, for us to be able to walk and talk with him, have that relationship, build that relationship with him. And, you know, he gave it to us freely. You know, there was, of course, there was the one thing that you couldn't eat, if that of knowledge, and, you know, that's not what I'm talking about today, but, you know, God gave us this place for us to have a relationship. And if you think about the temple and different examples of the Bible of what God built for us, and I can imagine it being pretty amazing, pretty amazing. And then you go to, and most of you guys know, Ezekiel chapter 28. And it says, thou hast been in the garden, Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to read verse number 13. And it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone's thy covering. The sardis, the tempest, and diamonds, the brill, the oxen, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of the pipes thou preparest in the days that thou was created. So if you list there, and I apologize for butchering that, but if you list there, you see probably the most precious stones that the world has. You know what I mean? And I can imagine every single color, every single you know, the shininess, everything that we consider beauty, everything that we consider precious in this world, Satan had. And Satan had that, and then he also had the music aspect of it. And his pipes, you know, he was talking about music and being able to worship. And then also, if you read in verse 14, he was the anointed cherith that covereth. You know, we pastors talked about this before. He had a position, he had all the stones, he had everything that he could possibly want. And I say all this, and to say this, is that Satan had a problem, as we could tell. Adam and Eve, they also had a problem. Although we hate to see it, we also have the same problem. Is that and what happens a lot is that we could be so overwhelmed with blessings that we start losing respect for the blessing itself. Not the blessing, the individual, but the essence of what God does for us. the essence of God's blessings for us. In the garden, and also here, in the, if you see the example is that both of them, or both of the situations, God has overly blessed us, freely given them everything that they could possibly ask for, but yet they still wanted more. And we lose focus of all the blessings because we just look at that one thing that we don't have. And and you know, I was thinking about this because, you know, sometimes, a lot of times you get caught up in just what you do with your mind sometimes. You get caught up in this moment where you're just like, man, I'm just having a bad day. I having a bad day. I don't really know what to do next, man. Money, you know, finances, work, you know, and you start throwing all these things in your mind, and you start doing all these things where you start trying to put yourself in this box, and you look at yourself, you put yourself in this box, and then by the time you realize it, it's almost like you've never had a blessing in your life, because we get so caught up in what we don't have or what we put ourselves in, you know, the box that we end up putting ourselves in, that we forget that God already blessed us. Even when we woke up, you opened your eyes. You took a breath. You were able to get up. There's a lot of people in this world right now that are not able to do that. They can't get up. They can't wake up. They can't open their eyes. And even if they open their eyes, they can't see. But you and we have that. But sometimes we just wake up in this mode, in this mood, and we just forget what God has for us. So all that, and what I'm saying, you know, is our blessings that we have are substantial. God gave us a family. He gave us a house. He gave us, you know, he gave us things. He gave us a car to get to work. He gave us a work to work. He gave us money for working the work that we do. And you know, as Christians, and, you know, it's something to say here in American Christian is that, you know, we get into this mode, we get to this mindset that we have nothing or we are nothing. When if you think about it, we get a lot more blessings, a lot of things. And, you know, Pastor always talks about that God is not after your character. I'm sorry, he is after your character, not your comfort. And you know, going to Ghana, going to Pakistan and experience what they experience, you know, a lot of times I tell myself, man, it's like, man, how can they just do this? How can they give their entire life to God and what he is? How can they do this? And my question got a little bit answered because it's okay. So if pastor talks about, and he has Bible for it, and I see it in the Bible, that if God is after your comfort and your character, the reason why they're able to do what they do is because they don't have what we have. Yeah. The reason they're able to give what they give is because they don't have what we have. Yeah, right. And there's things that should be called blessings, but we're using it to curse ourselves. Right, yeah. And it's one of those things that it's just amazing is that God, we have to be careful in what we do. And the moment that you get in this mode where it's woe is me and all this happening, you need to go back and just look at the list of what God's done for you. Look at the gifts that God has given you. Look at the place that God has given you. You have all these abilities. We need to start going back through the list. Brother Hanley once said that you need to go and you need to have that list. Where's our list? Write down, where's the blessings God gives you? Because if we're not careful, we start to forget what God actually gave to us, and then we start acting like God doesn't have any blessings for us. And in all that, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, so in Pakistan, you know, and I hate to say it a lot of times, and because I feel bad because I'm in the same boat, but sometimes I would just wish that we kind of didn't have the stuff that we had. We kind of didn't do the stuff that we had. You know, we have it now more or less for obligations, but I think that we would be a lot better Christians if we didn't have some of the stuff or had some of the baggage that we have right now holding us down. Because, you know, we go to these countries, they don't have anything, but they're the happiest people they could possibly be. They will give you their world, even though they don't have anything to give you. And that's how they are with everyone. And that's how they are. And I think as Christians, that's how we all should be. We all should be in that kind of same mindset. You know, church is not a weekend hobby that we have. And you know, we've said this a lot. We've done this a lot. Is church shouldn't be a weekend hobby. You know what I mean? It's not something that we just, church is not something that we do. It should be our entire lives. We should live for church. And when I say church, I mean Christ and the cause of Christ and everything that he has. Because ultimately, that's what a church is. Not this building. It's not this place. But it's the cause of Christ and the work that we do. We just do it together. We're one body. We're a family. But we have to start, one, going over the list of the blessings that God has given us. You know, I always say it all the time. You probably don't like me saying this, but I was always, when I first got saved here, I was always really bad of trying to ask for help. I would be really bad at asking for help or allowing people to give me something without me feeling returned. Because a lot of times growing up, you know, when it came to stuff like that, and my background, I won't get too deep, you know, a gift or something always is something that you always had to pay back. Somehow or another, it would always come up, right? And, you know, pastor had pulled me in my office one day, in his office one day, just to pretty much let me know. It's like, hey, you need to allow people to help you. And I'm like, I'm just not that guy. I don't like it. I feel like I owe somebody. Then I feel like, you know, like there's something over me when, you know, even though I know God is trying to bless me and help me and then put people. And then pastor gave me a person like Brother Mike. God put me somebody like Brother Mike. You know, Brother Mike, you know, I love him to death. He's, you know, probably one of my closest friends. But Brother Mike has a way of gifting me and doing stuff for me sometimes that I can never repay. And it's just the person that God put in my life. You know, he does some sometimes pretty much to, I feel like it's for God to humble me, to let me know, hey, you can't repay this though. Good luck. And I think about it in that way is, you know, and it's not only me too. It's, you know, my family and not just how they've taken, God's taken care of me. But I think about it, and you know, sometimes you get into this mindset and you know, it was a little tough going into work. You know, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, sometimes when you feel like God's calling you to do something and, you know, you think that you have the path made, you know, we say that you trust God and everything that he puts us in through. But sometimes, you know, we get in that mindset where you start to cloud your mind and your thoughts and, what is God wanting to do for us? I thought this was a plan. I thought this is what he had for me. I thought that this was the way. And, you know, and everything happened. And, but, you know, I did that. Now I'm working full time. And, you know, I don't have all the time in the world to give the church like I used to. And, you know, and it is what it is. But as I go through work, I start to realize what the reason was. You know what I mean? There was people that God needed me to go talk to. There was people that God needed me to go help and try to bring to church and try to help them in their lives. Similar kind of, you know, situations that we were in. But he put me in kind of in that crash course path to, hey, you're way too comfortable there and you're starting to get a little bit complacent. Time to move. And that's that mind, you know, it happens a lot. You know, you start a new job and first, you know, first month and a half, you're going there, you're there early every single day. And then month two happens, and then it's like, I gotta wake up, drag along. And I don't think it should be that way, but, you know, it gets that way. It happens sometimes. You know, things that you thought was, you know, the biggest thing in the world, it starts getting a little bit harder. And, you know, I don't believe that it's the blessing. I believe it's us. I believe that we get into this mode where we start forgetting, because, you know, God has blessed us, gave us all these things, and we just get we forget about it. We don't thank him anymore for what he did for us. We don't thank him anymore for that he allowed us to even wake up. We don't think anymore that we got into the car to go to the work, then to work in the work, then get paid to go into the work, and then come to a place like a church and a home to come back to go back to bed to do it again. It may seem repetitive. It may seem, but again, that's a blessing. There's a lot of people in that wish they were in the shoes that you were in. There's a lot of people that wish they were doing what you're doing. But we just need to be really careful. And this is my message. More than 10 minutes, I win. But we need to be really careful that we start getting ourselves into this mode that God has done nothing for you. Because God has done substantial things for you. So many things for you every single day. We need to start keeping track of what that is and keep it in the forefront of our mind. Because if we don't keep that stuff in the forefront of our mind, soon you're going to start, you know, pastor doesn't like the word burnout for Christians, but I don't think it's really a burnout. I just think that we let the world distract us from what the real goal is. What the real love should be for our Father, I just think the world lets us do that. And that's why Christians go fall on the wayside, I think, because they start losing respect for the blessings because they feel like they're not doing or being what they should be. And that's my message. Like I said, short, sweet, but more than 5 minutes, so I think I win. But truly, you need to think about what God has done for you. Really, truly. Because just like Adam, just like Satan, they had it all. And they still hyper-focused on that one thing that they do not have. And like a lot of Christians, that is what happens a lot. We hyper-focus on what we're not doing, and we forget about what God actually has for us and the beauty behind what he has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.